This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Hey, what do you do after a successful career as a veterinary neurologist? You become an advocate for wildlife. You become a master storyteller to inspire our youngest generation. Guess what? You are about to meet a remarkable human being who just may inspire you as well. Please welcome to our show, Dr. Rick LeCouture. We're going to find out what is the story behind his latest book. It is called Nasty Names Are Hurtful. An Australian white ibis responds to name calling in the city. Curious as maybe an ibis? We're going to find out. So everybody, you know the drill. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I've been looking forward to having this special guest on our show. He is Dr. Rick LeCouture. He has a lot of things after his name, and he's been a veterinary neurologist. That just hurts my brain saying it. He is a major wildlife advocate. He loves kids, and he wants our next generation to know how to care for the animals and wildlife on our planet. And he has a French name, and he's in Australia. Dr. Rick LeCouture, so glad you're on our show.
Yeah, thank you, Arden. I'm actually Australian, but I'm actually speaking to you today from my home in California. So, I'm still in the town where the University of California at Davis is located.
Oh, big veterinary school, yes.
And I retired as a prof emeritus, I am now, from there in 2015.
Well, that's one of the best veterinary schools in the United States. And I lived in Oceanside for 15 years, so I love California. You know, there's a lot we can dive in, but I want to get right to it. You write books, but your audience lately has been for kids, correct?
Correct, yes. After retirement from a career as a neurologist, as you said, and a neurosurgeon, and doing research into brain tumors in both humans and animals, and being an enthusiastic teacher, one might say. I loved teaching. I retired because it was time and spent more time with my grandchildren.
Nice.
And read to them. And I wanted them to become advocates for the environment and biodiversity and wildlife. And so I looked for books to read to them, and I could find lots of whimsical and fantastical books for 7 and 8 year olds. But nothing that really captured the true aspects of, or the authentic aspects, realistic aspects of the environment and the animals on our planet. So I looked and looked. I found a few, But I decided I'd write my own books for them. I've since retirement, I've been very active in a wildlife expedition company and have taken up photography as a major pastime. And so I put all these things together and produced books for my grandkids. And from there, some people saw them in my daughter's homes and said, "Can I have one?" And so from there, it's ballooned. And now I consider myself an aspiring children's picture book author and illustrator.
I would beg to differ. You are an illustrator and an author for children's. I mean, let's just go through some titles I believe you have put out on Amazon.com. You can find them, everyone. And they're all with the 2024. Did you write three books in 2024?
I did.
Oh my gosh. You have strong typing fingers. So let me just go through it, okay? One of them, everyone, is about it's called Norman Wants to Fly. And this is, tell us who Norman is.
Norman's a flightless cormorant. There are many species of cormorant seabirds in the world, and only one is flightless, and that is the flightless cormorant of the Galapagos Islands.
Oh!
And he evolved, and his wings became smaller and smaller, and his feet became bigger and bigger because he swims for his meals, and he didn't need to fly. And because there are no predators in the Galapagos other than those introduced by people, he thrived there, and he lost the ability to fly. And this is a book about a young flightless cormorant who sees other birds flying and wants to do the same. And the message of the book for the kids is that he discovers that he's a great swimmer. Everybody tells him so. And he's happy with who he is.
Which is very, very important. I mean, I'm 5'1" with a very tall phone voice. But I know I don't think I would have a career in the WNBA. Do you think so?
I think having looked at many things that you've done, Arden, I think you could do whatever you set your mind to. So I'm not going to enter into that discussion.
But the point for the kids is focus on your attributes, not the wannabes, correct?
Be yourself. And,
I like
celebrate
that.
Celebrate in who you are and what you are, and don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself, and you'll find that's more than enough in this life.
Well, then we go to book number two in this year. And this one is about a curious penguin, everybody. Of course, the penguin's name is Johnny, and it is called Penguin Pen Pals. There's your alliteration. A charming story of diversity, acceptance, and friendship. So tell everybody a little bit about Johnny.
Well, you know, penguins are very popular in kids' books. And it was actually a penguin book that I was reading to my grandchildren that said, I really need to add to the children's literature that they're exposed to, because I was reading a book about a penguin who lived in a house, drove a car, went to school. And when I got to the page where the penguin was eating pizza, I finally realized that this, while the whimsy was great and kids need humor and whimsy in their lives, but I couldn't find the balance to that in any penguin book other than ones that had photographs and weren't really much fun, although they contained the information. So I'm aiming for that middle ground between the whimsy and the actual. And so it's an authentic approach. And all of my illustrations are derived from photographs that I've taken. And of course, they don't look like photographs. They look like regular children's book illustrations, but they're all actual habitats and animals. And so in this penguin book, it's a story about three penguins who become pen pals and decide through their communications that they must all be identical because they're all black and white. They swim in the ocean, they eat krill, and they have the same predators that chase them, like seals and so on.
Where are they located? You said they're pen pals, these penguins. So what bodies of water are they based?
They're located in the Antarctica at the very bottom of the world, where most of the penguins are. That's their habitat. And so the book depicts them in their natural habitat. And so they all decide to meet one day, and they get together And they think the others haven't arrived because they all look a little bit different and they're all expecting to look the same. So they start to walk away and one yells out the other's names and they all turn around. They're slightly different.
This is really powerful.
One is an Adelie, one is a chinstrap, and one is a gentoo, three species of penguins. And so they are looking at one another and one of them says, "We're different. We can't be friends anymore."
Oh, no.
And they start to walk away from one another. And then one says, "Wait, we already are friends." They turn around and they walk off arm in arm or flipper in flipper into the distance.
And they didn't celebrate with pizza, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, celebrate with a little krill meal.
Krill.
And so the message is obvious in that one for the kids that different species of birds, just as people who are very different in different ways, should be tolerant and get on well together. And it's actually what's inside that counts. And so that's the message with that one. And the kids learn a little bit about penguins and Antarctica. I have fact sections in the back of my books for the readers, parents and the carers and the teachers to read so that they can answer the questions. And I encourage the parents to read these books with their kids.
Yes.
And if they don't know the answer to the kid's question, to demonstrate to the kid how you can look at the back of the book and find out an answer. There's always an answer, Arden, as you well know from your background. And it's just a matter of, are you too lazy to look for it? And these days, it's so easy to find answers. So that's all about penguins. I think it's a unique penguin book in the sense that it's authentic in its habitat and its depiction of these animals.
Hey, everyone, we're speaking with Dr. Rick LaCouture. You got to get that French in there. He's from Australia, but he's talking to us from California, so he's a glober. He likes to get around. He has done amazing things in his life. He loves kids. He's got how many grandkids do you have?
I have four, two daughters, each with a boy and a girl, so it's a matching. It's a very symmetrical situation, and I love them. I've learned so much about life from being with those children. I can't tell you. They've taught me so, so much.
Well, we're going to dive in a little bit about his contribution to our globe, to our next generation, after we take this quick break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages. We wear fur and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our four legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside. Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I invite you to listen to The Old Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Old Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Old Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I got to say, we've been on the air since 07, and this has been one of the most charming, delightful, amazing guests I've ever had. And he is Dr. Rick LaCouture, and he does a lot. I mean, check him out, man. He was a veterinary neurologist. That just makes my brain hurt. He's been a champion since his kid days in Australia for wildlife. He's an amazing photographer, and he is an amazing writer, and he has decided, I'm going to focus on our youngest generation and get them inspired with, you say, a little bit of whimsy in the story and some facts. So your latest book, just out, the third book he's written, everybody, in 2024. I love this title because I think it's important. Nasty Names Are Hurtful, subtitle, An Australian White Ibis Responds to Name Calling in the City. And this is about an ibis named Penny. Is that correct, Dr. Rick?
That's correct. In my third book, I realized that my major protagonists in the first two books had both been males. And so I'm going to correct that balance with the next book, because my major protagonist will be another female. And this ibis in this book is Penny, a female.
So tell us about her situation.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, don't be scared off by the fact that it's an Australian bird. It just happens to live in Australia, but it could be a bird anywhere. And the ibis, of course, was worshipped in ancient Egypt. They used to walk around the streets. And if you look in the pyramids and the tombs, there are hieroglyphs of ibis on the walls, a very revered bird. And it was actually in Australia long before any people came. The
wow.
Aboriginals arrived there and they worshipped the ibis also.
Why do you think that is? What is it about the ibis?
It's a very regal looking bird. It stands up straight. It's got this huge long beak, and I think the word I would use to describe, if you take time to watch them, it's an elegant bird.
Yes. I lived in South Florida for many years and going to the Everglades and seeing the ibis, they're very majestic.
I think that's another great word for them. And so when people came to Australia that look a little bit like you and me, they dried up the wetlands and they introduced agriculture, and the ibis almost went extinct except for the zoos. And so the zoos had a few pairs. Long story short, they escaped from the zoo in Sydney, Australia, and no one could find them.
Were they in the ibis witness protection program?
Well, almost the equivalent to the ibis witness protection program. Very closely, you'll see the similarities. So what happened was they couldn't find them. And some months or years, I think, later, they discovered them in a city park, and they had reproduced like nobody's business. They had made the environment their own. They are truly environmental refugees. That's my favorite term for them. And so they've thrived in the parks, in the big cities all over Australia. And from there, it's really interesting because people started to resent them because they would always be present, harassing people at picnics. And
well, didn't you call them picnic pirates?
I was going to say, and Australians developed all these derogatory names for them. Picnic pirates, bin chicken. A bin in Australia is a trash can here. So bin chickens, dumpster divers, they had horror. There are dozens of names, and the kids would chase them and throw rocks at them, and they were much maligned and derided in the society. However, they don't deserve that.
No.
They are survivors. They're resilient. And so They would not eat trash if humans didn't provide them with the trash to eat. So there's an instruction up at the end of the book that helps kids, what can you do for the ibis? And one of the things is put the lid on the trash can. Number two, don't throw litter, and so on. So there's
like
the
this.
Message. There's a message there too. But this bird is truly magnificent. Just to tell you one thing, Arden, about this bird, it has a beak or a bill that's 4 or 5 inches long. And in the end of that beak, there's a little sensory organ, a little vibratory organ that can sense a beetle or a worm 4 or 5 inches under the ground.
And really?
The bird thrusts its beak into the ground and it will hit the beetle every time. And so this is a magnificent animal.
Absolutely.
And it's a story about resilience. And underlying that, there's a message about name calling, because Penny the ibis talks to her parents about all the nasty names people are calling her. And they just reinforce the fact that she's a magnificent bird. She should be happy with who she is. And so it's a little instruction manual for kids who might be called names at school, or mm-hmm. for those who call the names. And maybe it's a cautionary tale for them, because don't call somebody names until you know all about them. And when you do know all about them, you probably won't call them names.
Can we clone you?
I want to come and help you with your podcast.
No, seriously, Dr. Rick, I know you have 4 grandchildren, and I know you've done a lot in veterinary medicine, but where do you get this inspiration? What were your parents like? I know you grew up in Australia. So where did you become this ambassador to wildlife?
You know, it's really interesting. I was brought up on a farm almost as far west of Sydney as the outback, so very remote. It was 12 miles to the nearest town.
Wow.
And the countryside was just filled with Australian native animals, particularly birds. I mean, any single day I would see 20 different species of parrot just on our farm alone. And so I had that upbringing, and always in the back of my mind was how magnificent Mother Nature is.
Absolutely.
I wanted to become a vet from a very early age because I wanted to deal with animals. And I must say, my parents encouraged me to be curious, always encouraging me to read. We didn't have a TV. We barely had a radio. So encouraging me to read and providing me with stories and material to read. And so it just grew from there. But it's not until I retired from being a neurologist and a neurosurgeon that I've always loved animals, but that I actually realized that I wanted to do something to make sure my grandchildren had a planet to live in. I give a lecture to anybody who will listen, and it's called, Will Your Grandchildren See a Lion in the Wild? And the truth is that kids being born today are very likely not to be able to see a lion in the wild. That's how serious our situation is. And so I don't want to scare kids with tales of bushfires and floods and hurricanes and climate change, but rather have them appreciate what's around them and then develop their own thoughts about the environment based on how magnificent nature is. There are several studies from Europe that show that kids that are exposed through their formative years to authentic wildlife and conservation stories actually go on as adults to practice those goals. And so we've got to get the little ones. We've got to get the little ones to understand.
I know your books are on Amazon, certainly, but how do people get in touch with you, Dr. Rick?
I have a website. I'm hoping you can add to the notes because my name is so difficult to spell, but it's called, it's ricklecuta.com, ricklecuteur.com. And so it's a tough one to spell. If I had my time again, I would have had a different name, but unfortunately I had no say in it at all. So,
hey, my name's Arden. I come from a family of Deb, Karen, Kevin, Bob, Bill. Really? So you never know, but you take what you get. And everybody, again, please, you got kids, you got grandkids, please go and check out Dr. Rick's books. He's got more in the pipeline, I am betting. But this is a man on a mission to help all of us, all species on our planet. And I have to say, it's been quite an honor to have you on our show, Dr. Rick.
Oh, it's been an honor to be here, Arden. Thank you so, so much. I love the work you're doing and for our little creatures on this planet. And you deserve a lot of recognition for that.
Well, I also need to recognize my producer. He is not a doctor. He is Mark Winter. He's the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. And we've been on the air with this show, O Behave, since 2007, when no one knew what a podcast was. So I hope you'll
Amazing.
Tune in. Go to ardenmoore.com. And please check out fourleggedlife.com. I do a lot in the world, including helping people learn how to save pets through pet first aid with the help of my shelter alums, pet safety cat Casey, pet safety dog Kona. It is called Pet First Aid for You. I have a newsletter, Arden Moore. Just check it all out. But until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2-3-4-legged out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's O Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. O Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.